So as we know from the scriptures, this morning in the gospel in particular, we see this battle beginning between Jesus and the devil. Now, as the Son of God in the heavens, of course, Satan was thrown out of the heavens by the will of God for his rebellion. And Satan, as an angel, is made to dwell in the heavens. That's the native habitat for an angel. And the heavens are much larger than our earth, much larger, more space, more spacious. And angels need that in order to expand and grow. Well, what happens when Satan and a third of the angels are thrown down to earth? This is a much smaller world for an angel. It's a bit like putting an elephant in a closet. This isn't his native habitat, so he's miserable to begin with. And what we discover in the book of Genesis is misery truly does love company, and he's trying to make us miserable with him. So what does God do? Well, okay, so he's in the heavens, and now what has he done? He's come down here to contend with this creature and free us from his grip. And here you find the beginning of that. This is the contention between the Son of the living God, who cast him out of the heavens in the beginning, and now he's going to destroy him on earth as well. This battle is second only to the battle that happened on the cross, where Jesus dealt not a mortal, but certainly a very severe blow against this creature. If we could see him, he would be mortally wounded because of what the Son of the living God did to him upon the cross. And Satan, when he meets Jesus in the desert, his purpose is to get him off his mission, which is to save us. That's why he came here, was to bring us back to the Father. And he's trying to get him off that. That's what Satan wants to do. Worship me instead of the Father, and I'll give you all these worldly goods, power. It's all mine to give you, and if you just bow down and worship me, that would get Christ off mission in a very serious way. The temptation to pleasure of the bread, satisfy your appetites, or perhaps the other one, honor, popularity. Throw yourself down from this temple in the face of everyone and draw attention to yourself as they all watch you be delivered by the power of God. And Jesus, of course, doesn't allow himself to be hijacked in his mission. He stays focused and vanquishes the devil. Now, you and I, however, maybe have not always been as successful as that. And that's, of course, why we need a Savior. I remember before I came here, I got here in September 2020, and in February of 2020, I remember I was in Pennsylvania. That's where I was before I was assigned here, in Loretto, Pennsylvania, where our mother house is, and I read in the paper, the local paper from Altoona, which is just down the mountain from Loretto, the story of a 17-year-old girl who was on a bus, one of the city buses in Altoona, and it got to the end of the line at the bus stop. And all the passengers got off, and as she was getting off, she saw a wallet sitting there on the seat. She sat down, she foraged through the wallet, and found several $100s in the wallet, which she pulled out and summarily put the wallet back in the seat and walked off the bus. Well, this gentleman came back to get his wallet when he found out that he didn't have it, and what this young girl, this 17-year-old, didn't know is most city buses have at least 5 cameras on them. So the gentleman had just, he looked at his wallet and he said, "I had just cashed my Social Security check and all that money's gone." So they went and they looked at the tapes. They saw her foraging through, taking the money. They found her. They were able to recognize who she was, and they found her. And then she was prosecuted and, of course, made the papers this day. That was several hundred dollars. Jesus had all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant presented to him. Now, this 17-year-old fell for several hundred dollars. Jesus had all the kingdoms of the world presented to him in an instant. I will give these to you. And that's what the enemy does. He tempts us with things of this world to forsake the living God. And it leaves us with a question, I think, on the first Sunday of Lent. What would you sell your soul for? For this 17-year-old, she was willing to violate the commandment of God, the seventh commandment, thou shalt not steal, for several hundred dollars. That was enough. That was her threshold. Obviously, she thought she could get away with it. But the fact that you get away with it doesn't make it right. Because I don't get caught, it's okay. No, it doesn't work that way because God sees. God sees. He does see. When we commit capital sin, mortal sin, we're not passing over from this world to the Father. We're passing over from this world to the kingdom of darkness, where the Father of lies reigns. That's what we're doing. We don't have power once we're in that kingdom of darkness to come back to the kingdom of light. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a Savior. That's why Jesus came to defeat this creature who's much more powerful than we are, so that he could free us for the kingdom of light. And there's your way to the Father. Jesus on the cross passed over from this world to the Father to take us with him. And that means light for us. We become members of the kingdom of light. And that's what Lent is really all about. It's a time for us to examine our lives. What am I willing to sell my soul for in passing over from this world to the kingdom of darkness? And if I've done that, repent of it, because Christ can relieve you of that and once again transfer you back into the kingdom of light, where you're protected and you become filled with light, and you pass over from this world to the Father through the Mass we celebrate, through your prayer on a daily basis, and through the way you're living in the truth. You're passing over from this world to the Father. Because if we only pass over from this world to the kingdom of darkness and then die, it's only the kingdom of darkness that awaits us. And that's why we need a Savior. And it just so happens today, we're going to observe Virginia coming into that kingdom of light. Our path to the kingdom of light is the womb of the church, which is the baptismal font, where we are reborn from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We are reborn. And all of us carry that light in our lives. And Lent is a great time to take stock of your life, examine your life. And where you believe you have offended God and perhaps not kept his commandments or followed his law, repent and believe in the good news that you have been forgiven once you repent. And so today at this time, I would like to invite the parents of Virginia and the godparents. While we observe, when we were baptized, our body, soul, and spirit became possessed by the good Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, and we became filled with light. And today that's what Virginia has to enjoy. So I'd like to invite the parents, the godparents, and Virginia to please come forward for this baptism.